the network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is the Wave Podcast, episode number one, recorded on February 22nd, 2012, Women in AV and the Four Quadrants. Welcome, everybody. We're so glad that you can join us for our first ever Wave Podcast. First, we want to take the time to say thank you to Tim Albright and AV Nation and Rave Pubs for giving us this opportunity to come to you as listeners and share with you what it's like to be a woman in the audiovisual industry. For our first podcast, we have the pleasure and honor of being joined today by Jan Sandry, president of FSR, Corey Schaefer, co-founder and vice president of sales worldwide, Listen Technologies, and Joanne Belanger, president of AVW Telav Audiovisual Solutions. And I'm Jennifer Willard. I'll be your moderator, and we look forward to getting right into it. So we're really excited to have these ladies with us today, presidents, founders, and also one of the most important things is the Infocom Board of Directors. So we really want to thank you ladies all for taking the time out of your very busy schedules to come and talk with us.
You're welcome,
thank
Jennifer.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Fantastic. So one of the things that we wanted to do, and for every one of our podcasts, which we're really excited about, is actually send you all gifts and say thank you for participating and taking your time to be with us. So you all should have your gifts, and we wanted to go ahead, open them up and see what you have.
$1 million?
Oh, I got $2 million.
I got it in Canadian dollars, which is worth more.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Very nice.
They're beautiful.
Beautiful.
Great.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, so much for your thoughtfulness.
Oh, I'm happy to. And what for our listeners out there, what we have for the ladies is a hand-blown glass pin, and it is actually represents a sun. And so the topic that we have for you this month, and very fitting with the women that we have here, is leadership. And so we had this pin specifically made for these ladies in representing what leadership means. And so I just really like to open it up to you, ladies. And so based on that, what does being a leader in our industry and as a woman mean to you? So, Jan, let's start with you.
Thanks, Jennifer. It means that we have to be careful what we say, what we do, because as women, we always want to do the right thing. And we try to always want to make sure that we have the answers that we're supposed to have and that we set a good example, because it all reflects on us and our companies. And we tend to take that pretty personally, I think. We just always want to be the best that we can be, and we're very critical of ourselves. And so we try to make sure that we lead our businesses and everybody around us in the very best way we can.
Yeah, Jen, this is Corey, and I think it's a really great comment. And I would also look at it, though, because we're in a male-dominated industry, that being a leader as a woman, we're also given this wonderful opportunity. And I find that when I got into this industry, a few years ago, men were really gracious and generous with their time. And actually, many doors were opened because it was so uncommon. And so I've just personally received a lot of help on the way. So I would feel that what it means to me today is a bit of that giving back and trying to either blaze the trail or create a path for other women. Because we were given this great opportunity before us.
Yeah, completely accurate, Corey. I mean, the whole opportunity and the mentoring aspect is really important. I was fortunate enough a few years ago when I was in the AV industry to meet a former Prime Minister of Canada, John Turner, and he said something to me that really has rung true a lot more as I became a full-fledged leader and continued to grow. And what he said to me was that it's not what you say or do that people will remember you by, but it's about how you make them feel. And, you know, I listened to him and I didn't really grasp what he was saying until you take on that leadership position and you have the fear of making a mistake or saying the wrong things or making the wrong decisions. And you've got a whole bunch of people looking to you for that direction. And really, ultimately, they accept that you will not be 100% right or have all the answers, but it's how you make them feel when they come to you and when you have interaction with them on a daily basis that is important and will leave the positive or negative impact with them longer term.
What a great gift in that statement that he gave you, because I think that that is what makes a remarkable leader, is like how you feel, right? If you're inspired and motivated and just kind of how you feel when you're in their presence.
Yeah,
that's,
and again,
all very true. And I think that we are really very fortunate in our industry that the men are so welcoming. Having spent 10 years in politics where the men were certainly not welcoming and not encouraging at all, that we're fortunate to be in the industry that we're in with everybody being so gracious.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would add to that, it is, in some regards, I feel that it has a lot to do with the makeup of what our industry is. We're a very service-oriented industry. We make things happen for customers, for clients. So pretty much all that we do is giving to others. So I think that, you know, just to further what everyone was saying, it is a great industry to be in.
And it's a great industry for women to be in. It's a great industry for women to be in because of Joanne's statement of it's how you make people feel. And I think that can be with a man or a woman in a leadership role. But what, you know, women, we're very, you know, we're more touchy-feely. We're not opposed to sharing our emotions. And the truth is, it's about really making a connection with people and, you know, a positive connection.
Right. And to that point, Corey, Joanne had a couple of months ago put up on our Women in AV LinkedIn group a great study about women's leadership. And, you know, right on what we're all talking about here, do you think that there's different styles for men and women for leadership? And do we need to look at how we're sort of mentoring and, you know, growing our leaders specifically for women? It talks about some of the five dimensions of leadership. It focuses on what everybody is saying around the idea of women are a little bit more feeling. We're more about collaboration and engaging and making those connections. What do you think about that in terms of, do we need to, and is there a different style to the leadership that we need to look at in terms of, you know, growing our younger women that are in our industry?
You know, I think every individual has a different style. And I would say that with women, I think one thing that really does come more natural to us in any relationship, especially in the leadership role, is nurturing. And because, you know, that's just part of our makeup. And so part of really connecting with people and leaving them with a positive experience is about how do we nurture that relationship ongoing. And, you know, it isn't about just meeting somebody once to, you know, that doesn't really connect you. It's about, you know, how do you stay in touch with them ongoing? And that's really just nurturing the relationship. It's, and wanting to nurture the relationship, not just trying to have an interaction, but this ongoing.
You're absolutely right, Corey, and it's part of our makeup. It's the makeup of nurturing. It's the makeup of wanting to be hospitable, to have people to your home, to entertain, to just nurture the relationship on and on. And you're absolutely right. It's part of our makeup.
Right.
Yeah, I think that I think there's so many studies on whether there are differences in leadership styles between men and women. And I agree with Corey that I think most of it becomes the person's choice of what leadership style they take. But there are certainly gender differences in how women approach situations like the nurturing. Jan said at the very onset about how we take everything personally. You know, we have a difficulty in compartmentalizing our work versus our personal, our compassion, our relationship oriented. Certainly there are gender differences, but I'm not sure that that is completely leadership style differences. I think men and women have these similar types of traits, and it's just whichever one you fall back on more frequently and more comfortably.
Perfect. So there's a place for it all. So into that, what do you think are some of the challenges that the women face in taking on more of a leadership role, especially in a male-dominated industry? One of the things that has come up, and all three of you ladies are on the Infocom board of directors, there's been a lot of conversations that have been going on out there recently in regards to Sheryl Sandberg, the COO of Facebook. There were some women in technology CNET panels that happened at CES that had Google's Marissa Meyer, Flickr founder Katarina Fake, and Cisco's Padmasree Warrior. But what's kind of interesting in regards to all of that is that, in fact, Facebook does not have any females on their board of directors. I did check into Cisco, and there are two females on Cisco and three on Google, two since 2005. And so when it comes to the executive management, really board of director level, we still see that there are low numbers of females that are rising to that level. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more, especially, you know, being yourselves in that position? What do you see or make of that in terms of some of the challenges and opportunities that we have to help women?
Well, this is Corey, and I would say that, you know, unfortunately, in a technology field, there just aren't enough women to draw from, you know, to get to that level. I mean, it's out of, you know, all of the people, you know, in the AV industry, there's still such a small number of women that are, you know, that are in an executive role, and so that you have a pool to draw from, I would say. And so it's just still this constant challenge to get our daughters and our, you know, and young women just enter these technical fields and know that they can really thrive. And, you know, what can we do? You know, we can mentor, and we can put forth opportunities for them and show them and inspire them and help guide them. And I think it is changing. I mean, the fact that there are three women on the Infocom board, speaks to that. The fact that there's, you know, as women CEOs, there are, you know, we're seeing them at HP and at IBM, you know, et cetera. It is changing.
In addition to Corey's point, I think one of the things that we as women may not do as well as men is we fail to promote ourselves and to ask of things that we would like. So I think that a guy will not wait to be asked to participate. They'll go and voice their desire to participate or take on a different role or take on a board position. While we as women may tend to wait and let them come to us, and because they'll eventually see all the great work we've done and all the contributions we can make, as opposed to being forward and making the ask.
Right. How's that working for us? Not so well, right? And I think it's, if we could give any gift to any woman, you know, the gift I would want to give is the gift of self-confidence, so that they would be confident enough to ask.
Recently at the Bixi Trade Show, I was speaking to a woman, and she came up to me and she just was thrilled that I was the president of FSR. And we started talking about it, and she said, going way back in grammar school, we've got to get the girls today to know that they don't have to just be nurses. They can be doctors. They don't have to necessarily be technicians. They can be the scientists of the world. That there's more careers out there than the traditional nurse and teacher. And I kind of agree with her that the young girls have to know that there's a world of opportunities that are waiting for them, and that it's not wrong to break from traditional, a teacher or nurse or whatever, and look for careers that are centered around technology or medicine, or just reach for the moon because it's there for them.
Right. Careers that were typically held by men.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think one of the positives is that this Generation X and Generation Y and whatever the next generation is after them, they are growing up now at a time where they are seeing successful women in leadership positions. And it is more normal that women aspire and elevate to these senior positions. So as they enter the workforce or enter the education world and make decisions for careers, I think it's not as unusual as it would have been 30, 40, 50 years ago, because we didn't have those types of mentors or people to aspire and look towards. So I think there is a positive light in that this generation that is coming through now are seeing wonderful women like Jan and Corey who are in very high-level positions and have created these successful organizations. So they can aspire to that, and it's not as abnormal as it would have been a few years ago.
I also think on television,
we still have to find a way to reach these women. And I don't know how we actually do that. How do we get out there to mentor the women to say, these are opportunities that are out there. We're in those positions. Maybe we had to break new ground to get here, but we want to help you. There's lots of opportunities here. Me, personally, I just don't know how to reach that age group. Maybe it's a college age group. Maybe it's they're just entering the workforce age group. It would be nice if there was some kind of a formal way that we could reach out to these people a little more proactively.
Well, and I would add to that, Jan, and you know, it really goes back to what you said in regards to meeting a woman at the BCSE conference. Mm-hmm. Every opportunity that we have to encourage women is an opportunity. I had the same experience recently when I was at one of our courthouse construction projects, and I was so excited that I actually saw a young woman who might in her early 20s who was fabricating an equipment rack. And so, you know, so excited to tell her about our group, about the things that we're doing, how can we help her. And I also had a conversation with her manager, and I was really excited to meet her, but I also wanted to talk to her manager and let her manager know there are women out there that want to help. There are women that want to be there for her. We want her to know that she was the only woman, and a young woman at that, on the whole site project. And I just, you know, making that contact with her and then following up with her manager to make sure that he knows so that he can encourage her to use those opportunities and to connect with other women was really fantastic. And then I also was really lucky to have the opportunity to start in high school at a public high school that had a broadcast studio. So then I went on to the university that had a television studio. So to the point you're making about reaching women and the youth at a young age in terms of what's available, I really do think that that opportunity that I had helped me and can really help if we can reach people as early as possible. Corey, you want to talk a little bit to what our plans are for WAVE in regards to sort of mentoring?
Well, I want to actually speak about the Women in AV group just in general, because I think it's like, how do we reach them? Well, first we need to have somewhat of a forum and a place for people to gather. And it starts with an awareness program. So, you know, I'm really proud that this group has 287 members, and a few of them are men as well. And again, we started off by talking about how fantastic men have been to us in this industry. And, you know, so Jan, I love your comment about how do we reach these women and what do we do? And you may not know it, but you are doing it. You're mentoring women. You are. And Joanne, you are as well. And just be by your being involved. And I mean, everything about, you know, much of what we do outside of our companies is we're volunteering our time. So it's about giving of our time, volunteering, and making young women aware that this is a great industry and that there are many roles for women to play. And so I do know that the women in AV are going to take on, are taking on a mentoring program. We're going to start with a webinar. I believe it's in April, Jennifer.
Correct.
I'm not sure the data set yet, but it will be in the month of April, and then also doing a luncheon at the Infocom show, just again to find a way to connect and to get more women involved. Because the more women involved, the more powerful we'll become. And I think that there can be mentoring by people who've been in the industry a while to kind of guide women and help them try to find where their strengths might fit and, you know, how they can help others. But I also think in reverse mentoring, like I'm finding, you know, I can tell you my own company, this younger generation that's so Twitterific and all of their social networking things that they do, they're teaching me so much. And it's just kind of opened up this whole new world for me. And I'm just getting so much out of it. And, you know, one thing that I believe that remarkable leaders do is they're just constantly learning. And that doesn't mean they're constantly teaching. They're constantly learning. And by doing so, they can also teach.
Joanne, you want to add to that?
No, I completely agree, Corey, that you've said it so perfectly that we're constantly learning. And that's the key. And, you know, the point as well that it's not only getting mentored by other females, but I mean, through my career over the last, you know, couple of years I've been working, I've had mostly male role models who have been absolutely fantastic. And I haven't been in this industry for a long time, but already in the 6 years I've been in the audiovisual industry, there are a lot of male role models and mentors who have stepped forward and have helped in many, many ways. In addition to the females that I've met along the way. So not to discard the male species as far as mentors as well going forward, because they certainly contribute a lot and help in a lot of ways and give you some different thinking to move forward.
Agreed. And I think the men in our industry want to help. And I mean, every, you know, just as humans, we just want to connect and we want to, you know, connect positively. And I think that if we, you know, some men just step up and just start mentoring, you know, asked or not asked, and some of them don't even know that they do it. And I also think they get blown away when we ask for help, because, you know, that's a tip, you know, to be very general, men want to help.
I belong to a president's group that's sort of a peer advisory group, and they have multiple, it's an association, but they have multiple groups. And the group that I'm with is about a dozen people, and we're split equally between men and women. And the advisor in our group has always said to us that the level of conversation, the quality, the depth, and the breadth in our group, because of the mix of men and women, is far superior to the groups that are more focused on just the men only. And recently they talked about trying to move some of the women out of other groups. And one of the guys stepped up and said, "You're not taking our women." And so to Corey's point, the men are also learning different management styles, different ways of reacting by having us there. So they are continually learning as well.
And you know, just in general, we have come such a long way. In the first, say, 5 years of the NSCA trade shows, there were only three women working the booths at that trade shows. One of them was Gwen Wachner from BGW. There was a woman, and I can't remember her name, and she was from a nurse call system company, and myself.
And that was it, working the trade show floor. Now, granted, it was a pretty small trade show in the first 5 years, but three women only. And now look at how many women are out there working the booths, involved in our industry. So we really have come a long way. Not to say that we don't have a long way to go, because we do, but at least we've seen some great progress over the past 20 to 25 years.
Right. Not only working the booth, but teaching the educational courses. And
right.
I mean, you know, the depth of the involvement's just really blossomed.
Oh, that's fantastic. You're listening to the Wave Podcast, brought to you by AV Nation and Rave Pubs. I'm Jennifer Willard, your moderator, and today we have Jan Sandry, president of FSR, Corey Schaefer, co-founder and vice president of sales worldwide, Listen Technologies, and Joanne Belanger, president of AVW Tel Av Audiovisual Solutions. What we're going to talk about next is, you know, based on all of the things that we've just been discussing in regards to, you know, having opportunities to reach women, discussing and talking about the importance of, you know, collaborating with the men and encouraging the men to also reach out to women. You are all leaders in both your communities and your families, as well as business women. So, you know, shifting the gears a little bit, can you tell us all about how you maintain that work-life balance? And tell us a little bit about yourselves. Joanne, you were talking about being an advisor on a president's group. You have a lot of board of directors besides the Infocom that you participate in. So what is some of your advice and suggestions about work-life balance for women? Is it different for women than it is for men? And what do you think?
Balance. Balance.
I was going to say, I don't really think you can get a work-life balance, but I think the thing I try to do is be present wherever I am at the time. All of the activities and associations and boards that I am privileged to serve on are all things that are a two-way street. I probably get a lot more out of giving my time than the time that I'm actually giving. And over time, one of the things that I've learned as I've gotten older, or maybe just more mature, is that I will not achieve a work-life balance. I mean, I'm going to have guilt no matter where I'm at whatever time. There's going to be different, at different times the balance is going to be out. But that I've decided that there were non-negotiables in my life at certain times. And so there are some things that I'm not prepared to negotiate on. Obviously, there's always exceptions, but I try to be home every weekend so I can now spend my weekends with my family. Growing up, that wasn't the case. When I first started, I was working 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and it caused a marriage breakdown. So I'm not prepared to go through that again. So now I've set up some little non-negotiables for myself that I abide by as much as humanly possible. And wherever I am and whatever I'm working on, I'm present there in that moment. But I don't think there will ever be a perfect work-life balance.
This is Corey, and I concur. I think, you know, it's just kind of day by day, moment by moment, week by week. One of the challenges we have is, you know, if we're focused outside of work, maybe in our community, we're always feeling like, gosh, I still have these nagging projects and tasks and things I need to get done at work or at home. And there's always, you know, Joanne, you said it as, you know, this ping of guilt that we're just never doing enough. And it's so true. And I don't know if this is just women or if it, you know, so I'm not sure if it's gender specific, but I too feel like I'm never giving enough. And I try to give it my all, and I love your comment about just focused on being present, because I think that's an amazing gift, because, you know, many people can be with their kids and not really present because they're either on their PDA, you know, they're on a phone call or whatever, and they're not really present. And I think that that is some really great advice. And I too, when I started my career, I was so off balance. I mean, I worked so much. And so my relationship suffered. And I also didn't really recognize it. Even though I had many red flags popping up on the relationship side, I just quickly discounted it and was just so focused on a career. And I'm fortunate because I get, you know, my second act. And I too am finding things that I just won't negotiate on. Because I really want to have balance, and it's something I desire so much. And it's balance with your relationship, with your significant other, your kids, your extended family, you know, your work, people you work with, your community. And by the way, and then there's yourself, you know, making sure you're taking care of yourself. It's a struggle every day.
Well, there was one common thread in there that you both said, and I'm so happy you said it because I've felt it, you know, probably most of my career. In the background, there's always this nagging guilt.
Yeah.
I should be doing something else, or I should be over here and I should be over there. And we just kind of bury that and go on. And I think part of our problem is we can't say no. Men are much better at saying, nope, I'm busy, can't handle that, nope, I'm doing something else. And it seems that we just take on more and more. And I found that when my kids were probably about like maybe 8 to 14, I was the mayor of my town. I was on the council in my town. But the one way I got some balance out of doing that plus work was I got my family very much involved in the political part of it. And they would help and be involved with all of that. But it was like you're running 24 hours a day and trying to what Joanne said, it's very important to stay in the moment because otherwise you're just all over the place. And I'm really glad that back then when I was doing all that, we didn't have all the mobile devices that we had back then. So it was actually easier to stay in the activity you were at and keep your mind there because you didn't have all the outside electronic devices that we have now to keep us all over the place. But it's hard to have balance. Balance is something that is not easy to achieve. For a woman who's involved in business and the community and has a family that they have to nurture and help along and spend time with.
So as you ladies have risen in sort of the management positions as leaders in the industry, do you find that it has gotten easier for you to be able to be present in that moment and manage that? And, you know, Jan, to your point, learn how to say no, or do you find that, you know, you're having different challenges now as you go through and become on the board of directors and, you know, chair your local community activities and raise and maintain your families?
Well, this, Corey, I'm going to jump in and say that I think it has gotten easier, but I'm not sure it's because I've risen in my career. I think it's gotten easier because of experience and, you know, finding the place of what is really important. Because I would say when I was, you know, younger, I was just, you know, really trying to prove myself. And so just giving it my all, you know, et cetera. And I think that today I look at things differently. Do I still want to prove myself and give it my all? I really do. But the career isn't the most important thing.
And I'll disagree a little bit with Corey there that as I've climbed up the ladder, my time is more my time, my own time to manage. And therefore I can run away from work for an hour and deal with a personal issue that when I was in a more junior role, I was responsible to someone and it was more, you know, the 9 to 5, if that ever existed somewhere. But so as you go up the leadership scale, your time is a little bit more yours to manage, because you're working out of a 24-hour day for work as opposed to an 8-hour day. So that's the only other additional comment I'd make on top of what Corey has suggested.
Jan?
That's a good point, and I find that true also. We have more, because we have the position that we hold, we can manage our time a little bit better now, and we can delegate to others and take the hour or two or day that we need to do personal things and to keep our personal life rolling as well.
But I don't think we can say no any better than we used to.
I agree with that.
Right. And I also look, though, I'm still many times I'm the first one in this office and the last one to leave. You know, it's just this balance is it's just a struggle. It's one of the things that I finally embrace is I will never get it all done and it will always be here tomorrow.
Right. Great. Well, thank you, ladies. And, you know, I think that you all made really important points in terms of, you know, the experiences and how you've matured over the years and trying to find a work-life balance. And also some of the things that you really mentioned on in terms of, you know, as your earlier career working, you know, Joanne saying that you were under, you know, the responsibility of somebody else and you had that 9-to-5 and your time wasn't necessarily your own. And Corey, to the point that, you know, you were working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that was really your priority. Recently, there's been some conversation and discussions, and one was posted to our LinkedIn group about women in the age range of about 30 and 35 who are burning out. And so what they're saying is that younger women are sort of, you know, we talked earlier about trying to reach these younger women and what can we do. But that, you know, the younger generation and the women that are coming sort of behind us, they are putting their entire career before any of their other priorities in life. And so it got me thinking, and knowing that we are in a male-dominated industry that doesn't have equal numbers of women in there, and we want to encourage women to do that, what is some of the message that we also need to send sort of these younger women in terms of making sure at a young age that they are also asking themselves what are their priorities in life and not necessarily sort of, you know, costing their personal enjoyment and fulfillment and having families in order to achieve those career milestones that they think. And do you think that there might be some, you know, sort of backlash that we might see by really pushing young women to really have good careers? Does anyone want to take that?
It's Joanne. I can take a stab at starting it. I think it's probably easier said than to do, but I think if at a young age I would have tried to map out a little bit my life GPS, and instead of having work and career as the number one dominant focus, that I put in sort of the four different key areas of my life now that I'm a little bit more mature, is taking a look at myself and what my expectations would be and what I would like, my work, obviously, the family, and then the community aspect of things, and putting some goals and objectives and creating a little life GPS or a life map, and understanding that you will never be able to achieve a proper balance. And at any point in time, one of these four areas is going to require more of your time and attention, and that regardless of what decision again you make, you're going to feel the guilt. That was common with all three of us. Even if we were making the right decisions at the right time and focusing our energies, we still felt that guilt knowing that there's other areas that require us. But trying to focus on those four key areas that are important for the rest of your life at an earlier stage might have prevented some of certainly my personal challenges along the way.
boy, well said. And when you said those four categories, I wrote them down because I think it's, you know, still a great lesson today. But I guess if I look at, you know, the study that was posted on LinkedIn and burnout and all of that, I guess the counsel that I would want to say to young women is work-life balance is a myth, period. It's a myth. You're always going to, it's just not possible. And I think that as individuals, we need to find out what inspires us, what energizes us, and at work and at home, and work to be in those environments. And I can tell you, when I was building my career, there were so many times when I gave my vacation days, you know, I just let them go because we had a policy of use it or lose it. And I didn't use it. I regret that so much because unless you take care of yourself, you really can't be effective at work. You really can't. And I really regret that. And at the end of the day, nobody noticed or cared that I gave those, you know, that I didn't take my vacation. Nobody cared.
So true, Corey.
And I think some of the young women today, they have to understand that that there really is more to life than a career. Work is out there. It will always be out there. And yes, you want to, you know, some people are motivated to get to the top and others aren't. And that's perfectly fine. And others want more of a family. And that should be fine, too. But to balance it all, you it's difficult, but you can do it. It may put off getting to the top a few years later down the road, but it's nice to have a balance between your family, your community, and your work. And I think if you just solely focus on only the work part of it, you're missing out on a great part of what this world is all about. And we only have one life to live. So I just think that they need to know that there's more opportunities than just getting to the top of their career.
This is not a dress rehearsal.
You
this
got
life
it.
Is not a dress rehearsal.
You know, it's Joanne. I woke up 8 years ago one day and realized that I had, through an acquisition, lost my job. And I had, weeks before, lost my marriage. And I didn't know who I was, and I couldn't identify myself when I met new people to introduce myself because I wasn't the president of a company anymore. I wasn't the wife of, and along the way, I didn't exist anymore, and my community involvement had deteriorated quite a bit because I didn't have that focus. And so it's so important, back to Jan's point and Corey's point, this isn't a dress rehearsal. Those four parts of your life have to live in harmony forever.
Wow, that's really great. So ladies, I mean, I can't thank you enough. I know how very busy your schedules are. I mean, the time that you've taken to share your insights and your experience and wisdom with all of us. For our listeners out there, you know, we're really incredibly fortunate and honored that you would take the time to be our guests on our first Wave podcast. And so I just wanted to ask you all, you know, what are your closing thoughts? And, you know, what is it that you want us all to take away from your experience and leadership? And how about having fun? What's something that, you know, everybody can think about in terms of how to make their life fun?
Well, I'm down in Florida on the beach, so I think my life is pretty fun right now. But there's a lot out there in the world, and don't just focus only on your career. Look around, enjoy what you've achieved, and yeah, keep striving for more if that's your goal. But enjoy your family. Take time to make friends and to enjoy life as a whole.
Corey?
My advice would be to have fun. because you can have fun at work also. And I think you need to do something that you have passion for, both at work and then at home as well. You need to find what you're passionate about. And my takeaway from this and the gift that was given to me today was the reminder of the four quadrants: self, community, family, and work. And work to find balance and, you know, focus in having balance in those.
And I'd like to encourage people at every level that if you meet someone or you know of someone who piques your curiosity and you want to find out more, I would highly recommend that you take the initiative to contact that person at any level of whatever organization they're at, because generally people are very giving of their time. And it is an honor to be able to speak to other people about your experiences. And I have decided a few years ago to, every time someone contacts me for a 10-minute coffee, I take them up on that because I get a lot out of it. So I highly encourage people to reach out to people that they might want to learn something from or get to know a little bit better. And rarely will you ever get a no.
Oh, that's really fantastic. I appreciate all of your advice. And I think, you know, just to add, that's exactly something that has really stuck with me early on, was one of my managers said, was to find somebody that you admire and that you look up to and learn and, you know, understand how they do their business, and sort of modeling and, you know, really trying to understand the people, such as yourself, ladies, that, you know, people look up to, and really sort of understanding, you know, how you do it, what it is that you're doing that's making you so successful and achieving all of the things in life. I think that that's a really important asset that anybody can have in terms of, you know, how they go through their careers in life.
Jennifer, thank you very much for this tremendous opportunity to speak with these two other fabulous women, Corey and Jan. It has been a pleasure. It's nice to know that you're not alone out there when you're sharing some of these experiences. It makes you feel a little bit more normal. And again, Jennifer, thank you for this beautiful gift that you had made for us. It's truly appreciated. And I look forward to the opportunity of listening to some of your future podcasts.
Great. Thank you. Thank you again, Joanne, for really coming on and really helping us all. So we really appreciate it.
Jennifer, I want to thank you for all the energy and the time and the enthusiasm that you've been putting into this group to get it moving and get it going. I admire the energy and the enthusiasm so much. And it's been my pleasure to get to know these ladies so much better here. Corey and Joanna, it's just wonderful getting to know you, and along with Jennifer. And I hope we have a chance to meet a lot more of the women at our upcoming Infocom luncheon. Thank you so much.
Jennifer, thank you for everything you've done for this group of women in AV and putting this first podcast together. And I feel so honored to be a part of it and with these amazing women. Joanne and Jan, I have loved connecting with you and getting to know you. And you've inspired me and have given me so many great things to ponder and think about so that I can grow and continue to learn. And Jennifer, as a young woman in AV, you're doing an amazing job. And thanks for all your contributing, contribution.
Well, thank you, ladies. I'm really, for your kind thoughts and words, and it is all my pleasure and honor. So from a very personal level, I can tell you that I look up to you all, and you're exactly the kind of women that I want to be when I grow up. And I couldn't do it without you and the other ladies and, you know, just all of us, I think, as women coming together. So I really graciously appreciate all that you do and for your kind thoughts. And taking the time out of your busy schedules. I think Jen, you know, made the greatest point. We were shuffling our dates and times, trying to find something where everybody, you know, could work it out. And, you know, it was the point of whether or not we had scheduled this a month in advance or a week in advance. Something's always going to change. So we just went with it. So I really appreciate you all taking the time to come in and share your thoughts and experiences with all of the women in our industry. So I look forward to seeing you all and talking to you all in the future. Thank you again, everyone, for joining and listening into our First Wave podcast. We're really excited to be bringing you monthly podcasts all about women in AV. And so if you want to listen to this and any of the other podcasts that AV Nation and Rave Pubs produces, you can go to www.ravepubs.com/AV Nation. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We look forward to talking to you next month.